Hello, welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And today we're going to be talking about the app Epic. And actually, I shouldn't even say app because it's available on any device, really. Anything you have with a web browser, Google Play, it's available on iOS store for iPad. And I'm pretty sure it's available for other tablets too, but don't quote me on that. I think it is.
I feel like you could have said it cooler though.
Epic. All right, we'll have to add some
cool
the
sound effects.
Yeah, like where there's like the echo where it's like epic, yeah. That kind of thing.
Like big thunderstorm in the background. Epic.
All right. Well, you know.
We should because this app, I mean, we use it almost every day.
It is a pretty sweet app.
I'm really named.
It really is great. It really is great. So I'm assuming that many people have already heard of this. If you're a K-6 especially, I think it's in most schools around the country now, mainly because it's free. For people who are not familiar, it is an online library. And the online library is free for educators. And the way they make their money is like, you know, when the kids go home, they say, wow, I love this. And then the parents have to pay a monthly fee. But really and truly, it's still pretty reasonable. I think it's like $6 or $7 a month.
An app if your kid asks for it. Like,
right. Can I have an app to read?
Learning and yeah, it's yeah. Great.
So it's not that expensive. And actually, if they buy it at home, it'll link to their account at school. And so they can kind of level up or these different things that they have. And we'll get to that. But they can do that at home and at school at the same time. So if you open this app, how would you describe like what the app actually looks like?
Well, once you've set it up, you get into the app, into your classroom, and it's got a list of all your kids because you kind of set that up ahead of time. And then they pick their name. And then once they do that, then they've got a lot of recommendations and suggestions of books that they can read. But they can also search for books or genres or whatever. And it just really gives them an opportunity to easily search through the library.
Yeah, I mean, they have things by month for different like collections for Halloween, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, really thematic. It's really nice.
I think, too, I mean, there's pictures on it, too, for your maybe lower readers. Like, they can see which ones are, like, their favorites or ones they can listen to. Or it's easy to differentiate. You know what I mean? There are a lot of things that kids can listen to, which is nice.
Yeah, there's just so much on here. When your kids first get in here, it's going to ask them their age, what they're interested in, and then it will kind of customize things to recommend. So, you know, just like on Netflix or something like that, where
right.
you like a movie and it says, oh, you might also like this. You should see, like, from Golden Girls, because I love Golden Girls. You should see the recommendations I get.
How is this, like, the first time you've ever referenced Golden Girls?
I know. I love Golden Girls. Anybody out there who's listening who wants to just send me Golden Girls stuff, I love Golden Girls. I am a Blanche guy, by the way. I don't know if you're more of a Sophia.
Like, are Blanche or you like Blanche? I'm clearly a Dorothy.
You're a Dorothy? I love Blanche. Mike, you're not even going to cop to ever watching the show, are you?
I'm clearly clueless because I don't think I ever watched
it. I think Mike's the Dorothy. I'm more of the Sophia.
Okay, all right. Now, if we talked about The Office, we could all, maybe in another episode, we'll go over The Office, whose personalities we are.
That's probably true.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry, where were we? So anyway, so when you first go in there, it's going to give you some great recommendations. And that's nice because your kids, just like in Google or anywhere, they can get lost in the searching, right?
Yep.
And that's the first thing we're going to get to is the search feature. So I'm going to talk about the search and different things you can do within it. And then Marie is going to talk about, I think, how she handles search. Because we had a big problem with our kids spending their entire reading time searching.
Yeah.
Right? So she thought of a great way to handle that. So when you go to searching, number one, it has voice search, which is awesome for K-2. Mm-hmm. And the voice search, actually, it does understand them pretty well. And then on top of that, you can do search preferences. So you can search by age or by AR level or by Lexile level. You can also search by fiction or nonfiction. They have read-to-me books, which are like books where it will read to them and they can follow along. There are audio books. There are whole collections of books. There are videos, and we'll talk a little bit about those later, but they're educational videos. So it's all kind of broken up like that. So really easy for kids to find things that they're into. It's also just interests. So if you're like kindergarten or preschool, they can say, hey, I like arts and crafts, or I like fantasy, or funny books, or mysteries. and they can just tap on it, and mm-hmm. it will show them collections.
Well, and it's too, it's another one of those apps that when they're in the app, like, I don't worry about what they're searching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't worry about it. They're never going to find anything that's inappropriate. It's a safe space for them to do research.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we'll talk a little bit about that, too. There's just so much in this app. But to talk about, Marie, how did you handle it with your kids just trying to get everything?
Well, like you said, they could spend the whole time just searching for books, and there's so many things on there to find.
Yeah, it would be a rabbit hole they would get down.
And, yeah, for sure. And they'll spend half their reading time just finding something to read. So similarly to how we shop for paper books, like, we'll have them search on Epic, and they can favorite it. They can click the little heart and like it. So they've bookshopped ahead of time so they can go into their favorites and their books are already there for them to read.
Yeah, and that's highly recommended. I do that with my kids too, and at least during Reader's Workshop time. They have to shop for books. You can give them rules. But then as they get their own little collection going, mm-hmm. they can easily just go back and look at those books.
They can be more by their own level. You know what I mean? The favorited books, so it's easy for them to go to their favorited books, and then you know what they're reading is on level and not too hard or too easy for them.
So the next thing that we're going to get into is actually the research part of this. So if you wanted your kids to do research like we did landforms or things like that, the internet is just, it's kind of out of control trying to get them to search for something. I mean, honestly.
Well, and anything that's appropriate in terms of, like, reading level.
Yeah, it can be really tough.
And there's always that fear that no matter what they type in, somebody has figured out a way to put something else there, and you're trying to avoid that for these kids. So
yeah, so like for science or social studies, we really like to use this to have our kids do a little more research on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's very easy. You can screenshot. It's another thing I love, mm-hmm. where your kids can go through, they can screenshot what they're looking at, and then use it within projects. And so that's great, too. So the next thing I'm going to talk about are the badges. And I'm going to let you handle this one, Mike, because this is a delicate one.
I love badges.
Because there's, like, each kid has a profile. They can change their profile picture. They get little badges for more reading, which is great, but there are some drawbacks to it, too. It's kind of a good and bad, right?
Yeah, much like the book shopping issue, when you first get started, you're going to have to teach the kids about managing their avatar or not managing their avatar and how, that's
not appropriate times to manage it.
Exactly, right. Because if not, you're going to find that your kids are going to play on that and play with their avatar or just try to level up or get badges by flipping through a book really quickly but not actually reading it.
I think, too, and I know that sometimes I've had it tell my kids, like, you can't finish this book yet.
You haven't spent enough time on it. Yeah. That might be a newer thing. I don't know.
I think it might be.
Maybe.
If you flip through too quickly, it will tell you to stop. But still, I've had issues with my kids. This is just like any tech tool, though. Like, you at first you're thinking, well, they're books. How could kids mess this up? No, I'm kidding. But how could kids find a way to hack this system, right? And when you're a kindergartner, you have to be taught how to hold a book and how to treat a book and all those things. And in second grade, you kind of just figure sometimes they know how to do it. And we all teach second grade. But we really had to specifically teach our kids how to read using this tool.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, you can go into their activity and you can see what your kids have been doing. And I just do that every once in a while, and it'll say, hey, so-and-so read this book in 13 seconds. And then
you're like, wow, I'm an amazing teacher.
But basically, I just ask the kids, I'll just say, like, hey, why do these three books say that you read for 13 seconds? And usually they'll honestly tell me, I was starting it, I didn't like that book, and I did something else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, but sometimes it's a discussion of, well, I was trying to level up, or I was trying to get something, and I was just flipping through it.
I will say one thing that I've had to talk to my kids about is, see, because I've done that too, where I've gone in and I've said, oh, so-and-so has read this book in 22 seconds or whatever. But one of the things that my kids and I kind of discovered together was, as we're teaching them to sneak peek a book, they may have to flip through the book to get to the end and look at the glossary or look at. And so, you know what? I'm not going to pay as much attention to that as long as I don't catch them. Like, if you catch them doing it, that's one thing. But hopefully give them the benefit of the doubt. So,
yeah.
So sometimes that'll trigger that.
Yeah.
That sneak peek piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. And we're not trying to bag on it. I really think that with any tech tool.
It's phenomenal.
With any tech tool, we could say, like, oh, they're messing around with it. That is just the nature of the beast.
The amount of information, like the amount of different books. I have a kid who's really into graphic novels, which I have a few of, but there are some great graphic novels on Epic.
Oh, yeah.
And they found these series that I've never even heard of they love.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have a nice mix of some series that you've heard of, some that you haven't, And really high interest. Like, my kids, if it is free reading time, they would choose Epic first.
Well,
they
love it. Well, you said they're creating their own books? Is that what you said? Like, Epic created books?
Yeah, I just noticed that, too. So they update the app a lot, and they've started their own series, just like Netflix, basically saying, like, they have their own Netflix series, original. They have Epic Originals now, which is kind of cool.
It's really cool.
Need to see where that goes. So along the lines of the features and some things like that, the videos. So there are some classroom videos that they added. And, you know, some of them are really great. There are some nice science videos. There's some things that are very worthwhile. There are some other things that are questionable. Like, there's some Minecraft videos and things like that. They're all safe. It's nothing about the appropriateness of them. But, like with most things, I want to make sure the kids know this is a learning tool.
Right.
And some, I think some kids could really handle, maybe older kids could handle having learning videos. But with our K-2ers, probably not as much. Now, luckily, you can just go right into your teacher profile, and you can turn the videos off or on, and you can do it immediately. So, like, if it was free choice and you wanted to turn them on, you can flip it on, and immediately your children will have access. Or you can flip them off. That sounded terrible.
I was gonna say that.
Turn them off.
Or you can turn them off. Sorry.
And you don't recommend flipping off.
No. Yeah, I would not recommend that. But you can turn it off and it'll immediately go away. So that's kind of nice.
I think too, it's been good. Mine are usually on all the time, but it's been good, like a responsibility thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not allowed to watch videos right now. But I mean, do they anyway? Yes, but it's been good as like a. What are the expectations here?
Sure. Yeah, no, that's for sure. It's a good time to sit down and talk with them about trusting that they're using their devices appropriately mm-hmm. and that they're learning, learning devices, not play. And
as we get into doing some research for whatever activities we're going to be working on, one of the ways kids research, we know, is by watching videos. Mm-hmm. And now you know that at least this is a trusted, safe space for them to go and look at videos and try to search videos out, because I don't know about you, but I don't want them just going on to YouTube and looking even
No.
I know they do it at home, but it freaks me out at school. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even we were writing how-tos. Like, there are some how-to videos in there they could watch for examples for their own creation. So that's kind of great.
So the next part is one of our favorite things that we've just really started getting into in the last year, which is collections. Now, as a teacher, you know, you're teaching landforms. Again, I'll just use that example.
Are you teaching landforms this week, Eric?
No, I already did, actually. Oh, okay. That's just coming
to
me.
He's been teaching them for months and months.
And so, you know, you don't want to necessarily go through and curate a whole list for your class. You can find collections that other teachers have already created and mm-hmm. just copy them and make them your own. Or what we started doing is for social studies or for science and things like that, we create our own collections, and they're easy to share with other teachers, whether they're in your mm-hmm. building or around the world. And so if there is a social studies lesson that I know everybody's going to be doing, I can go ahead and just make the collection. I can search by level, so I can even do different collections for different reading levels, send it to other teachers, and they can just copy the link. So it's just easy to kind of, share the workload.
And especially we're all teaching nonfiction right now, and it's filled in the gaps of our classroom libraries. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of nonfiction resources on there.
Yeah. Collections, super easy to use, really, really useful, and you basically just hit assign and choose which kids you want it to go to.
Right, so, and the great thing about collections is, it eliminates that searching issue that you might have.
It's there.
Because, you click on that collection, and now you've got 40 books there. Yeah. I don't care which one you're reading from the collection, but here are your choices.
And that's what I do with, like, right now we're doing a nonfiction unit, and that's what I did. I just shared that with my kids, and I said, if we're using Epic right now in Reader's Workshop, I'd like you to stay inside of that reading collection, please. All right, so the collections are awesome and amazing. I love those. And like we said, you can use this for research. You can use it during Reader's Workshop for just fill in the gaps in your library. I know that during a writer's workshop, my kids, we started using Siri for spelling help. And at first, it was a little bit disastrous. But once we talked about it, it actually works really well. But then my kids wanted to ask Siri questions, and they realized how useless Siri can be, right? Where it's just like, hey, what color is a polar bear's, skin? Here's what I found on the web, and it's just useless. But when they search on Epic, they can find so much information mm-hmm. so quickly to do research. So that's been great during Writer's Workshop for us. Mm-hmm. So just pretty much across the curriculum, you can use this to help in your classroom.
And it's free. Like,
yeah, I can't emphasize that enough. It's free.
Yep, it's fantastic. So, thank you, Epic, for keeping it free. It is appreciated. I know a lot of other teachers would second that they really appreciate, in a time where we do not get much money for our classrooms, having a resource that's like that has that many free books and things for our kids. All right, so that's Epic, and again, we just highly recommend it. And you know, anything else anybody else to say about Epic?
No, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's epic.
All right. Well, fantastic. All right. Well, don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. You can just follow our page. You could also ask questions or connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can check out our learning videos on YouTube at Teachers Talking Tech. You can follow us on Twitter. Send us an IM on Twitter at
Teach Some Tech.
There you go. And Marie, how's Snapchat coming? You got Snapchat all lined
up? Maybe by next podcast you can Snapchat us.
Okay, we'll see. Probably not. Okay.
Probably not.
And by Snapchatting us, she means Snapchat her, because Eric and I are clueless.
That's right. All right, hold on. Everybody be really quiet. Let's see. Just to show you we're authentic, listen to the door. Ready? You hear all my kids that came in from recess. We are really teachers, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for the lesson. This is Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
See ya.
Bye.